Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this beautiful day that the Lord has given us to worship Him on. We pray indeed that the Lord will touch your life and grow you through this worship service today of word and sacrament. As we gather together, I would like to acknowledge the traditional stewards of this land, the Kabi Kabi people, and pay respects to their elders, both past, present, and emerging. We're going to begin with a time of worship, so please stand or sit accordingly as your health allows.
This is amazing. Yeah. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Take a deep breath. Right? You feel better? Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting story this morning, because the gospel reading is all about, you might call it doom and gloom, but that's only a first glance. There's more than doom and gloom. There's hope as well. So I'm going to try and tell a story about that for all of us young people here this morning. And I look around and I say, hark, they're everywhere. Okay. Have you ever made, and this is one for you, Indy, have you ever made a prediction about something? Yeah? So what have you made a prediction about? Sorry? Right, it's there. Who else has made predictions about anything? Come on, be brave. Oh, Steve. Yes, Steve.
Yes. At the old blacks of
them.
Is that a prediction or a hope? So, what actually is a prediction? Sounds easy, but it's not. Kind of. Kind of, yeah. I think it's like it might be like a guess to some degree that something might happen in the future, right? Is that close enough? Yeah, okay. So sometimes we make predictions that are really easy to get right, like we go to school tomorrow, yeah? So that's a prediction. You think it'll happen? Yeah. That's one of the nice predictions, right? Or I can predict that if I drink a lot of water or maybe coffee, I might have to use the bathroom more often. Or what happens, Indy, if I stick up a whole stack of wooden blocks right on a table like that? You with me? Just pretend they're there. Can you see them? Yep. Right. And if I go like that, they're going to fall down. Now, is that a prediction or a lucky guess or common sense? Common sense. But it's also a prediction, isn't it? It's a cert. It's an absolute cert, that one. Right. They fall over. They fall over. Oh, not a prediction or a prophecy, I think, but as someone said, common sense, Glenda. Yeah. What about if I take a coin and I flip it? Can you predict whether it's going to be head or tails? Who said that? Who says heads? Hands up, come on. Oh my God, heads haven't got it at all. Who says tail? Oh, righto. Why tail? That's okay, but is it a prediction or is it really a 50-50 chance that you'll be right? It's 50-50, isn't it? What do you reckon, Indy? You're either right or you're wrong. There's only two possibilities, right? But we can't definitely be sure which one's going to come out. Now, if I had a book and I had it, say there were pages 1 to 899, right? And I went like that, what page number might I be at? You wouldn't know, would you? Because you'd have to really have some divine inspiration to get the page number right about that, because there's too many variables. If I flip it open, it could be anything. Way too hard, way too hard. So let's face it, some things you can guess, some things you can safely prophesy about or predict, some things you can't. You just can't. I heard people say recently, and it's in the gospel reading for today, that they know when the world's going to end. Have you heard people say that? Yeah, I have. They even get down to day and time sometimes, is that right? 1 a.m. on such and such a day, such and such a time, and what usually happens? Nothing. Precisely nothing. Because the Bible says that we are not to know the day or the time. And what did Jesus say he knew about that? What do you reckon, Indy? Did Jesus know? No, he didn't. He very clearly said he didn't. Only the Father knows that. Absolutely correctly. Righto, do you know that people have been talking about that very thing since Bible times? They have always wanted to predict when the end was going to come. And it usually was when there was some kind of calamity happening in the world. People in Jesus' day were talking about, so Jesus spoke to them, and this is kind of what he said. He told them that nobody, only God the Father knows, and we've just said that, and we can't predict it. That may sound a little bit scary, because we do want to know something, don't we? Right? We do want to know. But there are lots of things in the future that we don't know about. E.g., Indy, what are you going to do when you grow up? Mm-hmm. Did you guys know what you were going to do when you grew up? Did I know? Mm-hmm. The Lord's got a sense of humor sometimes, you know. He really has. But Jesus, at the same time as he said that we would not know the hour or the day, he said something about that we need not worry, because he'll take care of us. Now, what do you reckon? Is that a decent sort of a promise to be given? So it doesn't matter how bad things are going to get, you reckon? Jesus said, all will be well. All will be well. I'll take care of you. He didn't say, in fact, he did say, this things might get pretty tough here and there. And I won't spell out exactly what he said because it's in the gospel reading. But he promised to be with us through all of those times. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty comforting thing, that no matter what happens in our lives, the Lord is with us. Sure, we don't know what the future holds, but we know that God holds the future. You like that one? We don't know what the future holds, but we know that God holds the future. I reckon that's a good one. We might like to know, we might love to know, we might try to know, but all we really can do is focus on what we're doing right here and now at this moment today. Now, that's really a great promise that he said we would be with us, and there's no prediction necessary about that. We just focus on one day at a time. You reckon that's something worth praying about, Indy? Yeah? You reckon we should pray about that? Okay, dear God, thank you for your promises. Thank you for being present in our lives. Thank you that you can put our hope, we can put our hope in you, even when life is scary or uncertain. Help us to remember that every day you are with us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord be with you.
And the Lord's name.
We are the body of Christ, and the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let's share a visual greeting with each other. Okay, you may be seated as Mark reads the gospel reading for us today, and then Father Kevin will give us the message.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. If you have a pew Bible, that's on page 1042. Some of Jesus' disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in you being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I said to Father Steve at the first service, "I need to sit down. If I don't sit down, he might be picking me up off the floor." That's no easy task as the years go by. Okay. Well, if there's a theme for what I want to say today, it can be boiled down to two words. Don't panic. Don't panic. Because that reading is pretty heavy reading, right? And when we look at the international scene right now, and you can pick Ukraine, potentially Taiwan, Myanmar, Somalia, refugees, and of course, here we go with COVID-19 again. It seems like the structures of our world are in fact being thrown into some sort of chaos. You wouldn't argue with that, would you? No. Nation against nation? Yep. It does seem to parallel the gospel story today. And the message for us, I do believe, is be on your guard, but don't panic. When Luke recorded these words from Jesus, his readers were still reeling from the destruction of that majestic temple in Jerusalem when the Romans pulled the whole thing down, as Jesus, in fact, had predicted. The events were so shocking and so earth-shattering for them that many began to believe that this was the end of the world and everything was going to go boom down the googler. But Luke repeats the words of Jesus. As we just heard, don't be led astray by the doomsday prophets, I'm paraphrasing, who are always trying to read everything as a sign of what God is doing next. Many will come and say, "This is it." And is it? No. "The time is near." Yeah, well, maybe it is, but not right now. "He's the one." Well, as Steve said, lots of people thought He was the one who came in 1918, and that was a good out, wasn't it? We didn't see him. Yes, well, okay. Or it's a sign. I wonder how many, if I can use the terminology, primitive people seeing the eclipse the other night would have thought, oh, the end of the world. And now we know right down to the minute and second when it's going to happen again. In the year 410, when Rome itself fell to the Visigoths, again, many citizens, both Christians and pagans, were sure that this was a sign of something big happening in the heavens. And Christians were again looking to those apocalyptic readings and passages to concentrate on and make prophecies about and get all worked up about. Did it happen? No. In 2001, would you believe that this same reading from Luke 21 was read again only a matter of weeks after 9/11? And boy, oh boy, I can remember at the time, because I was still in Cairns, it was like a rerun of what had happened weeks before with the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and what have you. And people at the time saw the World Trade Center as being a symbol of the success of the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, the Pentagon was basically the seat of power. Wow. And down some of it came. And so it was the end of the world. Do you remember people? And I had to glint and stare to see whether I could make it out. In one of the explosions, when one of the planes hit the World Trade Center, they said there was the faith of Jesus. Do you remember that? And didn't you see that? Oh, okay. And people said, oh, you know. Well, maybe it was the face of Jesus to remind us that he's there, but maybe it was just the way the flames were going. But people always want to read something into things that probably aren't there. There were wars and rumors of wars then. Remember? Not too long after that, we were in quite a state. And because the USA was really hell-bent, if I can use that phrase, of sorting things out, Afghanistan and places like that were under attack. And of course, that went on for a long, long time. There was a great surge in nationalistic pride and fervor. People even saying that the end was nigh, but it wasn't. It wasn't. And today we hear the words again. Wars raging in Ukraine, and nightly we see these scenes on our TV. I don't know about you, but these days I like my home creature comforts. And if I was living in Kherson for months and months with no water, no electricity, and between you and me, I'm rather partial to a flushing toilet, I would be quite uncomfortable about that. And people are living through that as we speak. They're being interviewed, and they're so stoic about it. They're coming out the other side. And we've got the COP27 meeting at Sharm el-Sheikh, rightly concerned about the climate. What's happening with the climate? Does that mean that God's sending all sorts of calamitous climate changes on us? No, he's not doing it, but we might be well and truly doing it ourselves. What did Jesus say? Many will come saying, this is it, the time's near, he's the one, or it's a sign. Don't go after them. Don't panic. Jesus is not, however, saying that we shouldn't care about these events. He's not saying that they don't matter and that we're to ignore them, but he is saying that we shouldn't waste our time or energy on trying to interpret them and interpret them as something way beyond what they actually are. These things are to be taken seriously and intensely as human events, not trawled over again and again and again, searching for some obscure reference to some obscure scripture to justify that they think it's the end of the world. Well, the right response is to recognize them as signs, all right, signs of what we're doing and what we're mucking up, but not what God is doing to us. What God is doing is not changed by such events as these. God is continuing to call us to be ambassadors of love and mercy and reconciliation through Jesus in a world that seems increasingly gripped by torrents of hatred and resentment and hostility. Have you noticed lately, in the media particularly, all a Christian has to do is raise his head above the parapets and make a few statements, and out come the machine guns, yeah? There's been lots of recent examples of that. I won't name things or events, but you know what I'm talking about. And it's pretty sad to see. God is calling us and continuing to call us to be the ones who build bridges, even when others were calling on building of walls. And that's not a particular reference to Mr. Trump. Where God is continuing to call us to be those who will sacrifice our own interests in the service of others, no matter who is standing up and inciting the whole world to violence and hatred and division. God's not orchestrating all this stuff. Totally the opposite. So we are not to fall for panic predictions that God's about to destroy the world right now, but neither are we to be complacent that it's of no consequence readings like that, because we are meant to sit up and take notice, and boy, oh boy, does it ever. As Jesus went on to say in the reading we heard, but before it's over, they'll arrest you and persecute you, will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors because of my name. Because of my name. You'll be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. You'll be hated by everybody because of my name. No room for complacency there. And we see that happening already. So we might be feeling safe and secure in our own little neck of the woods here at Kiwana or wherever it might be, but that's not necessarily so for Christians who are in the field right now. Everybody here, I think, should know Sylvia Jeans. Yeah, we had her here several times doing a sort of a mission, and we used to sponsor her too. Does that still happen? No? Okay. And one day she got up and told us a story about how on Sabah, which is a very heavily predominantly Muslim country, she had to be very careful about the classes that she conducted for people to teach them the faith, because proselytizing as such was frowned upon, to say the very least. And so if they did have a convert, baptizing that person was a very awkward situation for them. They couldn't advertise it. They couldn't rejoice about it. They couldn't put it on Facebook. They couldn't put it in the paper. They just had to be quietly thankful to God amongst themselves, because it wasn't safe to do or say anything else. And those of you who know Bruce and Libby Hayes over in Nepal, they'd be in a very similar situation. So we're free to do all these things, not so in the rest of the world, where Christianity is very much in the minority. In 2022, such situations are not unusual, but dare I say it's the world's new normal, and I don't like it myself. The thing that is unusual is that our God-given and promised capacity not to panic. Why? Because Jesus promised that, and you can complete the phrase for me, not a hair on our heads will be lost. How about that? How about that? And by your endurance, you'll gain your souls. So, folks, remember, the road to life and love always has to go by the way of the cross. There ain't no shortcuts. Jesus' words at the end of that reading this morning were, stand firm. Stand firm. What does standing firm mean? It means counting on the promises that Jesus made to us, that we will never be alone, no matter what. So, brothers and sisters, that's how we're meant to respond, with care, but not with fear. And I invite you to stand firm. And as the scripture says, you will win life. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks, Steve.
God rules. He rules from his throne. He looms majestic. He towers in splendor. Great and terrible is your beauty. Strong king, lover of justice. You set down foundation stones
of just and right working.
Let us honor God, our God.
And worship Israel.
People of ages past prayed to him.
They prayed and he answered.
He spoke and they did what he said.
They kept the Lord's commandment.
God, our God, answered them.
But he was not so of this thing.
So lift high, God, our God.
And worship him.
Amen.
Our parish prayer. Renew in us, O God, the zeal of your love. Let our parish come alive with the power of your Spirit. Where we have failed, forgive us. Where we have persevered, encourage us. Where we are in doubt, direct us. Help us to see new opportunities for witness and service for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we pray to you today, I am thankful that we are your children and that you love us. I am thankful that you sent Jesus to be our Saviour and our brother. I'm thankful that your Holy Spirit comes to guide us and show us the way. Thank you for this amazing creation that we live in and all the creatures of this world. Help us to always remember to love, be kind, be generous, and show your truth to all we know. I pray for Father Stephen Klender as they guide us in this place. And I pray for Father Kev, and thank you that he is able to support us. And for those who lead, preach, and teach, not only in the Anglican Church, but all Christian churches around the world. May they guide and lead the world through your wisdom and authority. We pray for our HGK church family, those close and those far away, and ask for your blessing upon all who worship you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for our country and those who lead us. May they find your purpose for this nation and govern with integrity and honesty. We pray for the leaders around the world and pray that there can be unity and peace among the nations, with an end to all war and hatred, looking to build that bridge and seeking love only for each and every child of yours on this earth. As we seem to be facing another new strain of COVID, Lord God, please keep our people safe and help us to not panic. And I pray that this illness will lose its potency and life can continue to get back to normal, whatever normal may be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those who are in hospital or sick at home, for those who are suffering despair or depression, for those who are facing homelessness or financial struggles. Give them courage and hope during their troubles and bring them peace, healing, and help. so that they can know that you are the King of salvation and hope. We ask that you strengthen and encourage those in the medical profession, all caregivers, nurses, doctors, and supporters who care for the sick and their families. We pray for the charities who give to those in need. And thank you for our community welfare group who feed and support many struggling people. Lord, please bring to this group more volunteers so this wonderful ministry of the Breakfast and Food Bank can continue. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, as we finish, let us pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So let's stand as we fare our online viewers. Farewell our online viewers with the grace. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Nothing in this world can satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning back, my things will be. Decided to follow Jesus. Yeah.